Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, karup, guten tag, ciao, wivi, va, katang, half a day, jai, janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Killitary Industrial Core Poor Nation, in the post-constitutional, cheese-covered, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of murdered animals, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Seems it never rains in Southern California.
Well, it never rains in Southern California. Unless I have an event scheduled in Malibu, as we did last Sunday. Poor Mother Nature. I don't think she was biting the hand that feeds her, actually. The most environmental of environmental events rained out, honoring the most environmental of environmental heroes with the first ever International Vegan Hero Awards for Supreme Master Ching Hai, Antenna Roba, Sebla Nebielul, King Wawa. Rained out. Ah, was Mother Nature biting the hand that feeds her? Or was she crying? Was she the victim of climate change and she couldn't control herself? Or was she confused seeing a benefit barbecue, not realizing it was okay. It was a vegan barbecue. No heterocyclic amines, HCAs, carcinogens formed by barbecuing flesh. No environmental devastation, as if we were barbecuing flesh. It was to be tofurkey franks and sausages and follow your heart chicken-free chicken and just great vegan food from restaurants like One World in West Covina and Truly Vegan in Hollywood and Vegetable Delight in Granada Hills. And oh well, another fundraiser turned fund loser with all the pre-event expenses. This wouldn't be a bad time to make a donation to support the planet's first and only mainstream media vegan animal rights radio show. More and more free speech is expensive, and we purchase airtime each and every week. You can donate online at goveganradio.org. It's tax deductible. We've been a little ahead of our time. As we approach our 10th anniversary in January, who else in mainstream media or progressive media has addressed the greatest problems of our time with the only solution? You know, as wonderful as Pacifica is, as wonderful as KPFK and KPFA are, they never tell you to go vegan to end wars and violence and poverty, hunger, and disease. Wasn't there just that progressive counter Glenn Beck demonstration in Washington, D.C., that a gathering of many? Well, Randy Rhodes, the most progressive of progressives, covered it, saying it was eclectic in its issues. So many different social justice causes were represented. Even vegetarianism, she mocked, it seemed. She said derisively, and she said she agreed with all issues represented except vegetarianism. So Randy Rhodes tells us that. She tells us that she has to have her meat. But what does that tell us about Randy Rhodes? Well, aside from the fact that as intelligent as she is, she hasn't quite figured out how to feed herself yet, that she's still been brainwashed by the impropaganda of the corporate diet of death, and she will never have real solutions for us if she doesn't see them and know them for herself. For years, I've been warning you to go vegan or die. Go vegan or the planet dies. Don't you believe me? Oh, you think I don't have the credibility because I'm a tree-hugging, cow-kissing animal liberation activist? What if the UN said it? Forget about a disc jockey turned vegan talk show host who Can't even schedule an environmental event in Southern California on a day that doesn't rain. Okay, so, but what about that magnanimous body formed to avert war and advance human justice causes? What about when the UN says the way to a sustainable future is to go vegan? Well, then I think this means you. The International Panel for Sustainable Resource Management of the United Nations Environment Program. And, you know, it's an official UN Environment Program. One program is spelled P-R-O-G-R-A-M-M-E. It concludes that conserving fuel and reducing pollution and greenhouse gas emissions will, quote, only be possible with a substantial worldwide diet change away from animal products, end quote. So, what does that mean? Are you a fleshitarian, a cow's milk drinker, or a vegan? Are you on the side of saving the world or destroying it? Are you an environmentalist or an eco-terrorist? Huh? So the headline in the Guardian newspaper in the UK says, quote, UN urges global move to meat and dairy-free diet, and then the subheadline, lesser consumption of animal products is necessary to save the world from the worst impacts of climate change, UN report says. And Felicity Karras writes, quote, a global shift toward a vegan diet is vital to save the world from hunger, fuel poverty, and the worst impacts of climate change, end quote. So, coming up today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, a further examination of the environmental impact of meat and dairy. And, well, Halloween is upon us. It's next Sunday. So let's start scaring you and grossing you out, you know, as of today. And really, there's nothing scarier and more gross, well, than your dinner plate, right? If it is corpse cuisine that you consume. So there'll be tales of deadly superbugs and mad cows turning your brain to sponge. And you think the Gulf oil spill is scary? How about the Gulf poop spill? All this and more coming up today when we talk to David Kirby, author of Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. Don't go away. The news about MRSA, MRSA, and pig eating will just scare the wits out of you, you know. You'll be so scared that you'll just have to go vegan. It is also scary, right? I'm scared. I don't want to be alone. I need my friends to protect me. So please be my friend on Facebook. You find me at Bob Linden. And who's that hiding in the shadows there? Who's that lurking? Who's following me? Oh, they're supposed to be following me on Twitter, and you can too. Okay, on Twitter, it's Go Vegan Radio. And please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. I know in this day and age, it's very scary to spend money. So, but it's Halloween, so scare yourself. Really scare yourself with a big donation. You can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Or for scary archives and gross-out podcasts, and to make another scary donation, this way online, please visit goveganradio.org. How now, no cow? Get hip to the strip. Primal Strips, the delicious, high-energy, high-protein, meatless snack from Primal Spirit Foods. When you're on the go, go with Primal Strips, the meatless meat alternative that even non-vegans love. Primal Strips have become a favorite with bicyclists, climbers, and outdoor enthusiasts. 100% vegan and kosher, no cholesterol, no GMOs, preservatives, or artificial colors. Voted best new vegetarian snack by Veg News. Primal Strips, 6 phenomenal flavors. Thai peanut, mesquite lime, teriyaki, hot and spicy, hickory smoked, Texas barbecue. Visit PrimalSpiritFoods.com. Visit your natural food store for Primal Strips. Out of work, I'm out of my head. Out of-
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and it's the first vegan radio program, animal rights program in mainstream media. You can support the program with a tax-deductible donation. As you know, free speech is expensive. We have to buy the airtime each and every week. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Yes, it is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and you will have so much information today to convince you to go vegan after we talk to our guest, David Kirby. Prior to his latest book, Animal Factory, he wrote the New York Times bestseller, Evidence of Harm, Mercury in Vaccines and the Autism Epidemic. He's been a journalist for 15 years, a contributor to the Huffington Post, and he's been a foreign correspondent in Mexico and Central America, and has been a consultant to the United Nations Human Development Report Office. He has also worked in politics, medical research, and public relations with the New York City Council, with New York Mayor, and AIDS Research Public Information. You may have seen him on Meet the Press, The Today Show, Larry King Live, Democracy Now!, and elsewhere. All good preparation for the hard-hitting journalistic forum of Go Vegan with Bob Linden today. David Kirby has written Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. And the book actually comes with a warning. The warning is, warning, the raising of your food may cause the following: swine flu, mad cow disease, MRSA, asthma, E. coli, pollution, animal cruelty. And I recently saw some articles go by that talked about MRSA, which is a deadly bacteria, superbug, that kills more people every year than AIDS. And I really wasn't aware of the connection to meat and dairy. So we're going to get a very good overview of everything today from David Kirby. Welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. David, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here.
How are you?
Great, great. So what motivated you to write this book? Because it is a book about everything, and when does it end, right? I mean, it covers all areas. This highly acclaimed book covers everything, and you look at things through the eyes of some individuals around the country, too.
Yeah, you know, it's not really about the animals, although they are important in the book. It's really about the people who have to live in the vicinity of where thousands and thousands of these animals are crammed into very small confinements where they produce tons of pollution through their waste, water and air pollution and land pollution. Mm-hmm. But they also produce tremendous amounts of disease, and that disease can spread both through the environment, through the water supply, through air. It can spread through workers who work in these facilities and take pathogens home and spread it through the community. And it can be spread through the food supply, as we saw recently with the salmonella recall of 500 million eggs in this country. And the way in which these animals are raised and the number of animals in the confinement and the tight space, the lack of fresh air, is all very conducive not only to disease, but to the evolution of new and novel pathogens that can be quite deadly and that can be quite drug resistant. So whether you eat meat products or not, whether you're a vegan or a full-on carnivore, even if you aren't bringing these products into your home, you still could ultimately pay the price for factory farming.
Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, we've talked about mad cow disease and E. coli, et cetera, on this show. I mean, I never get to everything here, but MRSA is kind of a shock to people. I just recently sent out some tweets and Facebook notations on it, and people are really shocked about MRSA. What is it, and how is it connected to factory farming?
Sure. I was also shocked. I just wrote two pieces for Huffington Post. If you go on there and search my name, you'll find them. MRSA is a staph bacteria, staph infection, but it's resistant to a lot of different antibiotics, and it's also quite virulent. Now, most people who are infected with MRSA just get a skin rash, and it goes away, and it's kind of nasty, but you recover. But if it gets into under your skin, if you have a cut or a break or a lesion, or if you're immunocompromised, or if you're infected in a medical setting as well, it can be horrible. It's a flesh-eating bacteria. It can cause pneumonia and an agonizing, horrible death for which there is no treatment. And like you said, it kills more people than AIDS in this country. One source of MRSA is from these factory farms where they raise thousands of pigs in a single confinement and give them sub-therapeutic doses of antibiotics, not to treat the pigs because they're sick, but to, A, promote growth. It makes them grow faster to get them to market with less feed cost, and it prevents outbreaks of disease. But because they're using low-dose antibiotics instead of a full therapeutic dose, it allows these pathogens, such as staph bacteria, to mutate and to become resistant to entire classes of antibiotics. That's how we get MRSA. And I was just shocked reading some of these studies. In one farm, one factory farm, 100% of the piglets were infected with MRSA. 60% of the adult pigs were infected with MRSA. A very large number of the workers were infected with MRSA. And then when they started doing some surveys of raw pork in the supermarket, again from factory farm sources, it was in the range of 5, 10, even 15% of some of the products, pork products, were infected with MRSA. Now, interestingly, the MRSA they found in the pork products in the store seemed to be of the human variety, although pigs can also get infected with the human variety of MRSA with that strain. That would suggest contamination in the processing plant. But my point was, we do need to find out where it's coming from, but the fact is that there were MRSA bacteria detected in meat that's sold in U.S. supermarkets, and if you're bringing fresh pork home, even once a month, at that rate of contamination, over the course of a year, you have pretty much 100% chance of bringing it into your home. And even though you're going to cook that pork thoroughly, if you're going to eat it, you're going to handle it, you're going to cut it, it's going to be on your counter surfaces. If you have a cut, if your child, licks the counter or his finger. In other words, you are bringing a dangerous drug-resistant bacteria into your home.
Right.
And your food shouldn't do that.
Yeah. So, if you're bringing pork home regularly, you're saying then you have 100% chance of bringing it home. And I think you said that, what is it, 1 in 5 U.S. pig farmers has it? So
yeah, Canadian pig farmers. I'm not sure what the ratio is in the United States, but it's equally high, and in Europe as well. But again, it's the industrial farms. MRSA is not typically found on a traditional farm or on an organic farm because they don't use antibiotics unless the pigs get sick. And then mm-hmm. It's just a course of antibiotics. You treat the pigs, they get better, and you take them off. You don't raise them on antibiotics as growth promoters.
Okay. And MRSA, is that just from pigs, or can you get it from other animals from factory farms?
Well, sure you can, and we do feed antibiotics to chickens and to cows. And it was found in beef and chicken. In a few small studies, I have to stress that we need a lot more work on this. And my whole point was, well, if the FDA is going to recall eggs with salmonella, why aren't they touching, meat with MRSA? And since then, the USDA announced that they have a working group on MRSA, which is a good beginning. We should applaud even baby steps like that. But again, the MRSA in these studies that was found in chicken and beef was also of the human variety, which would suggest, again, that it's some. But if that's the case, and I'm not convinced that it is the case, that would mean that we have lots of people infected with MRSA working in our food processing plants, infecting our food, sneezing and breathing and coughing on our food. And that should concern vegans as much as it does meat eaters, because that means if that's the case, then it's not just the meat that's contaminated with MRSA, it's our entire food supply, because we allow infected people to work and handle our food without proper precautions, it would seem to me. And that's that's as big of a worry as pigs infected.
Okay, aside from MRSA, MRSA, the superbug, what else did you find shocking about the effects on health? I see that when we talk about mad cow disease, and supposedly cows get that from being fed other cows, and you say the cows are still being fed cows?
Yeah, in three different ways. And I think there's been four or five cases of mad cow, or four or five cows in this country identified.
Well, it's don't ask, don't find here. I don't think there's a very large testing.
Well, they don't look
testing.
Very much. No, they don't. I think it's about one in 1,000 cows is randomly tested. the ones that have had it were, I believe they were all dairy cows. And, of course, on a dairy farm, when a calf is born, it's yanked away from its mother immediately because that milk is a commodity. That's money. So instead of letting the cow nurse from its mother, they give it formula, and a lot of that formula is bovine blood products. So we're feeding cow blood to calves on dairy farms. Another way we do it is through restaurant scraps. Those are sent to cattle farms very often, and, of course, that food very often contains beef. And then we also... this is really going to make you a vegan if you're not already, and I'm not, by the way. But
well, then listen to the archive, and you'll be convinced. Listen to your own interview.
No, I know. There's some powerful arguments, but I'm talking about industrial-grown animals. We produce so much chicken litter in this country and it's so high in phosphorus that it can't. Its land application uses are limited, and it's too toxic to incinerate. They don't know what to do with it, so they feed it to cattle. And not only is that just gross on its face, but we feed cattle products to chickens, and it's in the chicken feed sometimes. And when they peck at it and eat it, they knock that beef product into their own litter, which is then scooped up and often fed back to cattle. So that's a third way in which we feed beef to cattle.
So cows are fed chicken litter with...
chickens that are fed cows.
Unbelievable.
It's
wow.
It's a closed system. Very agronomic.
That's totally disgusting, and everybody should be vegan from hearing that. So we're talking to pre-vegan David Kirby, who's about to go vegan today. He's the author of the book Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. You can go to animalfactorybook.com. We might have another minute and a half in this segment before the break, but things I find interesting that I learned from your writing, David, the threat to human health. Odors from 170 chemicals can cause, and of course we might expect respiratory disease or diarrhea or vomiting, but you talk about depression and violent behavior, insomnia, appetite loss from these factory farms.
Yeah, and a lot of that is not necessarily directly linked to those chemicals. It's more of a psychological torture that these people go through. I've seen grown men break down and cry because they live on a farm and their farmer next door put in a pig factory, and now they can't have their friends over for a barbecue because they don't know when that cloud of stench, that waxy mist, is going to blow over onto their property and coat
everything. Of course, they were going to just barbecue vegetables there too, so that's why we feel sorry they can't have the barbecue.
Okay, let's say... a birthday party.
It was a birthday party, a vegan birthday party, vegan cake.
Cake, no butter. but you get what I mean. It's the unpredictability of the odors, and people have to run around at night and shut the windows in their house, and their kids are stressed out, and they can't sleep at night. And, you know, so it's not necessarily even a direct effect, although there are those as well. But the stress, and also hydrogen sulfide, which is what stinks. That's the sulfur smell you smell from animal waste.
Oh, David, we have to take a break. The
sure.
Factory farms stink. We're talking to David Kirby, author of Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry.
My vegetables, I love you most of all. My favorite vegetable. Jump up and down and hold.
What's the first thing that Carl Myers, MD and cancer specialist, did when he retired from his medical career? He opened a vegan restaurant, Nature's Express in Berkeley at 1823 Solano Avenue. Healthy by design. Nature's Express. Most medical students flip burgers to put themselves through medical school. Dr. Myers put himself through a medical career so he could flip burgers. And you'll flip over Nature's Express burgers made in-house. Original, spicy black bean, almond sunflower, lentil, and chicken alternative patties. Check out the menu at natures-express.com and check out the food at Nature's Express, 1823 Solano Avenue in Berkeley. What is your dog really saying to you? It's time to take me for a walk. Yeah, that was easy. Could you please get the ball for me from under the couch? Right, okay. How come everyone in the family is vegan except me? I don't want to eat the slaughterhouse floor sweepings and commercial dog food. And don't you know that dogs often are allergic to animal products and pet foods? I want V-Dog, high-protein vegan dog food. Order at 888-280-8364. Shipping is free. I want to be like the 10 generations of dogs that have thrived on V-Dog, enjoying improved dental hygiene, skin and coat, digestion, weight management, and more energy. I want my V-Dog now. Call 888-280-8364 or order online at vdogfood.com.
I'm gonna keep well my vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. You can do so online. It's goveganradio.org. If you'd like to advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services, email me. It's bob@goveganradio.com. Today we're talking to David Kirby, who is the author of Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig Dairy and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. If you missed the previous segment, go to goveganradio.org for the archive. You will get sick to your stomach over, related to some items you may not have known about, MRSA and what cows are being fed and the threat of mad cow disease. And about this book, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. writes, Animal Factory is a beautifully written account of the danger industrial meat production represents to our health, environment, and democratic process. What's the threat to the democratic process, David?
Well, beginning with the free market economy, which is supposed to be the basis of a democracy, these are monopolies. These are vertically integrated companies. They're trusts, the same kind of trust that Teddy Roosevelt set out to bust at the beginning of the 20th century. They control production every step of the way, from insemination of the animal until it's on the shelf wrapped up in cellophane in the supermarket. They own the animals, and the farmers are sharecroppers. They're contractors. They go into debt to build their farms. They own the liability for all the manure they're generating. But the company, the corporation, retains ownership of the animals and most of the profit. And the farmer is paid just a piddly little amount per animal that he or she manages to bring to market. And this system is ruining rural America. It's dividing communities. It's putting family farmers out of business. It's depressing home values for people that live in the area. It's not helping local businesses. And there's a lot of corruption from the county level right up through state capitals, right up to Washington, and a lot of undue influence from large agricultural influences with a lot of money that corrupt the political system and buy off candidates and buy off judges and influence the White House and the FDA and the USDA. And like you said, corrupt the democratic process. I agree with him.
Yeah, I can see that. And it affects employment in those areas negatively.
It does. These are low-paying jobs that nobody wants, and they often go to migrant workers. They already often go to undocumented workers, And for a small rural town in the Midwest, suddenly faced with increased demand on police and fire department and schools that have to hire English as a second language and health clinics that suddenly get more demand. I'm very pro-immigration, but a lot of the workers that come in to work on these farms end up costing the community a lot more money.
You say that local redress is limited, that 13 states have laws limiting disparaging speech about agriculture, and that all 50 states have right to farm laws protecting animal factories from zoning laws and lawsuits. Who owns this country anyway? We're all owned by agribusiness, apparently. And we're not allowed to say that, right? I can't say that in 13 states.
Well, in 13 states, if you say what Oprah said on the air, you might be taken to court. That's true. And all she said was that she didn't want to eat another hamburger. Now, she eventually was acquitted. Who wants to eat that? A lot of the right to farm laws, the main effect of that is that local counties don't have the right to decide whether a factory farm comes to their county or not. They can certainly vote on whether they want a prison or a mine or a nuclear facility or a trash dump or whatever, but if it's agriculture, they don't have that right. So local control is huge, and it's something that industry fights tooth and nail. They don't want counties to have local control because they know that many of these counties will say, no, thank you. We don't want that facility in our county.
Mm-hmm. And Oprah really shouldn't be blamed for not wanting another hamburger. I mean, you cite a study that 20% of hamburgers have salmonella, and many of them with resistant strains, right?
Yeah, and you know, a lot of places now won't even serve you a medium rare burger. If you want one, you have to get it well done because they know they're risking your health if they serve that to you even slightly undercooked. And that's a fairly new thing.
Mm. And let's see. Oh, we've been so scientific here, but I think that, you know, in order to get ratings, we have to go to lowest common denominator and maybe talk about poop a little bit, because that's one of the excrement of animals is a major environmental threat.
Poop was the working title of the book for quite a while. Not a serious working title, but I kind of liked it because there's a lot of poop in my book.
Okay, thanks for leaving me that title. You know, I think in the future that would be that's a catchy title. You know? So what's the latest poop on poop in your book?
What's the poop on poop? Boy, it's so unhealthy. It's bad for the animals who have to live on top of it. It's bad for the water supply into which it leaches. It's bad for the air into which ammonia and methane and hydrogen sulfide drifts. That ammonia can be carried 50 miles away and get deposited into a waterway where it converts back into nitrogen, where it feeds algae blooms and causes fish kills. Poop in and of itself is not a bad thing. That's where this is where I sometimes get into discussions with my vegan friends, because organic farming largely depends on poop.
I know, and so I'm a proponent of I'm a proponent of vegan organic farming, or veganic. That's my goal. I would pay more for that, you know, because I had a show on recently about vegan organic farming, because, you know, a lot of industrial waste comes through the poop. There are still toxins used.
Yes, although it does depend on what kind of poop you use, doesn't it? Now, again, on a sustainable farm, there are no toxins really introduced into the animal or into the poop. So those are the two big things wrong with industrial poop. One is that it's filled with, we haven't even talked about the arsenic or the copper or the zinc or the heavy metals.
Oh, please do. Whenever, jump in with any of that.
Well, there's just a whole bunch of crap, pharmaceutical products, heavy metals, pesticides in the poop. And there's just so much poop that's so concentrated, there's far more than the land can absorb, as opposed to a traditional farm where the animals poop where they eat. And their poop goes back to fertilize the grass that they feed upon, which, of course, that system is completely upturned in a factory farm where they bring in grain and then have to store the poop and liquefy it and then eventually spray it on the ground as fertilizer. But like I said, it's toxic poop, and there's so much of it that there's often more than the ground can absorb, or even than the crops can absorb. And that's where things really go downhill, such as in the Yakima Valley of Washington, where there's so many mega dairies now that the nitrates from the poop has gotten into the groundwater. And, of course, in throughout my book, the people who suffer most living near a factory farm are the poor people, the low-income people. And in Yakima, that means the Yakima Indian Nation and the Hispanic workers who live there. They have well water. Everybody else has city water. Lower-income people depend on their well, and those wells are contaminated with nitrates, which can cause diabetes, spontaneous abortions, blue baby syndrome, autoimmune diseases. And the EPA is there right now testing their wells and telling them not only to not drink their water, but in some cases to not even come in contact with it. And the EPA and Obama's EPA has been really good on factory farming and really good on water pollution from these facilities. They're testing those nitrates right now, and they're going to do a molecular fingerprint and trace them back, and I will bet you anything that they will be traced back to the dairy factories.
Mm-hmm. And the animal factory farms produce 100 times more human waste, 100 times more waste than humans do, I guess.
It would be, pigs will produce 100 times more waste, that's correct.
And hog waste versus human waste in terms of pathogens?
A lot more. And, of course, you know, we treat human waste before we send it back out into the environment, and we remove those pathogens, and we remove a lot of the nitrogen and a lot of the phosphate. But we don't do that. With the animal waste is completely untreated. And like I said, it's sprayed onto cropland, but it's routinely over-applied so that it runs off into creeks and ditches and canals that eventually reaches rivers and lakes and oceans. Or it seeps underground and gets into the groundwater, like I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And talk about that getting into the ocean. There's a dead zone that forms every summer off the Gulf of Mexico, in the Gulf of Mexico, off of Louisiana, that now gets to the size of New Jersey. And we don't hear about this. We heard all about the Gulf oil spill this summer, and huge news that was, but it happens every year. This is agricultural runoff that drains the entire Midwest and is discharged through the Mississippi Delta into the Gulf of Mexico, and that creates an algae bloom and a fish kill the size of New Jersey.
Well, so yes, we do talk about the Gulf oil spill. We need to talk more about the Gulf poop spill. And then the eastern shore of Maryland isn't doing too well either, is it, with all the chicken factory farms?
They're drowning in chicken poop. And, of course, most of those chickens are also fed arsenic to make them grow faster, and that arsenic comes out in the poop. And
why would somebody want to eat a chicken who was fed arsenic? And if it stays in the chicken through going through the poop, I mean, and why are chickens fed arsenic?
Like I said, it makes them grow faster. Nobody knows exactly why. It prevents certain intestinal parasites. And they feed it to pigs, too. But it's mostly used in chickens. And Tyson has stopped doing it. I believe Purdue still does it. I've seen that commercial where Jim Purdue's bragging that they don't use hormones or steroids in their chickens. Well, first of all, if I'm not mistaken, steroids are hormones, and you don't feed either to a chicken. But you feed them lots of antibiotics, and you feed them lots of arsenic.
Yeah,
but,
really.
His chicken is eating candy bars, and he's all upset.
Right. The eastern shore of Maryland produces enough chicken waste to fill a football stadium right to the top row. We've been talking to David Kirby. His book is Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. You can go to animalfactorybook.com. And we have maybe a couple of minutes left, but David, you also wrote the book Evidence of Harm, Mercury and Vaccines and the Autism Epidemic. Could you talk about that for a moment for us? Revelations
I'd be happy there? To, and I actually was just wanted to ask you a question as a vegan, because I'm working on a vaccine story right now, and it turns out that there's no such thing as a vegan vaccine, that all vaccines are derived from animal products, baboons and monkeys and dogs and pigs and cows, and So I'm just wondering how vegans feel about being vaccinated with animal products.
Vegans do not feel good about that, and I wouldn't accept the vaccination myself. And many others are very opposed to it, too.
That's very interesting. There is a crisis in this country of neurodevelopmental disorders, and I believe it comes from a wide range of problems, including air and water pollution, including contaminated food. And in some kids, in a subset of kids, I believe their vaccines, including vaccines with mercury, help push them over the edge, stress their immune system, too many vaccines at once. We now see a lot of children with mitochondrial disorders. Mitochondria are the cells, the batteries that power cells, and pollution, pesticides, mercury attack mitochondria. So we now, and they can attack the genes so that mothers are giving birth to babies with damaged mitochondria, which are then exposed to further environmental stresses and immune challenges, including over-vaccination, and it's driving a lot of these kids into autism. And it's tragedy, and we're not prepared for the wave that is just about to break. A lot of these kids are just about to turn 18, and there's this huge wave of disabled young people coming with no services and nothing prepared for them.
Okay, well, we'll have to end on that happy note. What a happy show this was. Other than everything you heard here today, have a nice day, right?
I'm going to go have a nice salad. How about that?
Have a nice salad, David. I'll be calling you. I'll be your support system for your transition from pre-vegan to vegan. Now, if you listen back to your interview today.
I'm red as a bee, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world, Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas, made from local organic GMO-free ingredients, sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. Catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Dinner 5 to 9. Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798. VegetarianHouse.us. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, an oasis in Oakland for 14 years, invites you to enjoy its weekday vegan lunch buffet, 11 a.m. to 2:30. Affordably priced from just $5.50 to $7.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian Restaurant, 1301 Franklin Street, downtown Oakland, specializing in vegan Vietnamese cuisine. Try the sautéed garlic vegan beef, the gourmet lemongrass vegan chicken. See the extensive menu at goldenlotusvegie.com, goldenlotusvege.com. For dessert, vegan mocha cake, vegan cheesecake, pumpkin cake, cupcakes, 100% vegan, no MSG, fresh every day. Lunch buffet weekdays, 11 to 2:30, starting at just $5.50. Golden Lotus Vegetarian, Franklin at 13th and Oakland, 510-893-0383. Golden Lotus Vegetarian. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Listener-supported animal liberation, Mitia infiltration. Don't give your money to those organizations who support humane slaughter, certified humane eggs, who condone torture and mutilation and killing. Don't support the organizations who support serial killers like, well, it's not the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but it is Wolfgang Puck. Those organizations are part of the problem. Be part of the solution. Donate to Go Vegan Radio, P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. Donate online at goveganradio.org. You can advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products and services on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Email me, bob@goveganradio.com. On Facebook, look for Bob Linden. Follow us on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. And the listener comment line, you can call 315-VEGAN-20. Thanks for technical support from Evan Donovan and Brian Stovall. Well, the scary day approaches. Which is scarier, by the way, Halloween or Election Day? I would vote for Election Day, when corporations disguise themselves as people and hypnotize the public to vote them in to do evil. They treat you as if, they treat you as if they care about you, and it turns out to be a trick every time. And now the line is blurred between Halloween and Election Day, between politics and witchcraft. Scarier than Sarah Palin, scarier than Michelle Bachmann, it's the U.S. Senate candidate from Delaware, Christine O'Donnell, who has dabbled in witchcraft, as we learned on Bill Maher's Terror Vision show.
I was dabbling into every other kind of religion before I became a Christian.
And you were a witch.
I was dabbling in witchcraft.
Right.
I dabbled in Buddhism, and I would have become a Hare Krishna, but I didn't want to become a vegetarian, and that is honestly the reason why. Because I'm Italian, I love meatballs.
Boy, are you spiritual.
Poor Christine O'Donnell, as much as she has tried, cannot escape from the cult that eats the remains of animal sacrifice. She'll misfit right in the United States Senate. That cult of flesh eaters everywhere. Be scared. Be scared of your government as much as you should be scared of your dinner plate. Well, the costumes may be scary this coming Friday, but the food won't be. It's the Halloween costume party potluck. As I said, it's this Friday, October 29th. Appetizers at 7 p.m., dining 7:30, and dancing at 8 p.m. Sponsored by the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. It is at 633 Glenwood Isle in Alameda. And you can go to the website, sfvs.org, for information, or the phone number to get information. And then next Sunday, October 31st, Halloween, there's a free lecture, Food Choices for a Healthy Planet, by Linda Rebell, author, Eating to Save the Earth. And that lecture is at 9:30 in the morning to 10:45. So yes, coffee and tea and light refreshments will be available at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 1187 Franklin Street at Geary. And the San Francisco premiere of Bold Native is Thursday, November 18th at the Red Vic. You have to see this film. And in fact, the night of the debut, John Robbins will be speaking. Of course, you know him from Diet for a New America, The Food Revolution, Healthy at 100, etc. So he'll be speaking there that evening, as will Jake Conroy, one of the Shack 7, Shack for Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty. Talk about scary, that animal dungeon in New Jersey. It's also in the UK, killing 500 animals every day. That's really scary. You will want to see Bold Native. Screenings are at 7 and 9:30, again, Thursday, November 18th, at the Red Vic. Critically acclaimed. It's about animal liberation, direct action, asking the question, who are the terrorists anyway? So you can go to the Red Vic website. Tickets are just $9 in advance. So definitely check that out. And again, please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. We have to purchase airtime each and every week. When you support Go Vegan with Bob Linden, you're also supporting progressive talk radio, radio stations like Green 960. This is the first and only vegan animal rights radio program in lamestream media. So we need your help. We need your support. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation online, you can go to goveganradio.org.
to see. And when I look in my window, so many different people to be, that it's strange, so strange. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch. You got to pick up every stitch.
Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday afternoon at 3 as the scary day approaches. Which day is that, Halloween or Election Day? Well, either way, you will be scared and grossed out by what you hear on Go Vegan with Bob Linden this weekend. Deadly superbugs, mad cows turning your brain to sponge, Christine O'Donnell, witchcraft dabbler, animal sacrifice eater in the U.S. Senate. Pretty scary, huh? Also pretty scary, the new book from investigative reporter David Kirby. It's Animal Factory, The Looming Threat of Industrial Pig, Dairy, and Poultry Farms to Humans and the Environment. You'll be scared out of your wits by the news about MRSA, MRSA, and pig eating. It will scare you out of your wits and into going vegan. The costumes may be scary, but the food won't be at the Halloween costume party potluck next Friday, October 29th. Appetizers at 7 p.m., dining 7:30, dancing at 8 at 633 Glenwood Isle in Alameda. For information, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society, sfvs.org. The phone number is there also. Next Sunday, October 31st, free lecture Food Choices for a Healthy Planet by Linda Rebell, author, Eating to Save the Earth. That's at 9:30 in the morning to 10:45, so coffee and tea will be available at the Unitarian Universalist Church, 1187 Franklin Street at Geary. The San Francisco premiere of Bold Native is Thursday, November 18th at the Red Vic. You have to see this film. John Robbins will be speaking at the premiere, author of Diet for a New America, The Food Revolution, etc. Also, Jake Conroy, one of the Shack 7, Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty, and that's a pretty scary place for the animals. Huntington Life Sciences, which kills 500 animals every day in cruel experimentation. Screenings are at 7 and 9:30 for this critically acclaimed film about animal liberation, direct action, and you'll be asking the question, who are the terrorists anyway? Go to the Red Vic website. Tickets are just $9 in advance. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible by Vegetarian House, world-class organic non-GMO cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara. Visit vegetarianhouse.us, and by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants, now with 160 worldwide. The first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. There's one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. For one near you, visit lovinghut.us. Be my friend on Facebook. It's Bob Linden. On Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And become a sponsor. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email bob@goveganradio.com. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation to support this program, please go to goveganradio.org.